Representing East Oakland, man.
All right, all right. Welcome back to another episode of the Hawk Vision Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Hawkins, here to help you shorten the learning curve on your way to greatness. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe across all your social media platforms, especially here at YouTube. More importantly, share this podcast with other visionaries just like you. Our guest this week is someone that I have a huge, huge amount of respect for. You guys know I am low-tech, high-tech, but she was put on my radar recently, and it was an absolute no-brainer that I bring her onto the show. She's cracked one of the hardest automation codes that most online entrepreneurs will ever face, and she's here to share her story, some of her secrets, and her vision with us today. This week's visionary, Miss Jenna Dancy, welcome to the show.
Chuck, thank you so much for having me. I cannot wait to dive into today's topic. And after that introduction, I'm just like, I need to bring you everywhere.
Listen, as long as you feed me with coffee, we're good. We can make those runs. I am heavy on making sure that I edify my guests, because I don't think it's something that high performers get a lot. We get people ask us a lot of stuff, but nobody ever edifies us. And I'm like, when everybody comes on my show, I want to make sure that they know they're here for a reason. So you've been killing it. That's why you're here.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And coffee, check, check, and check.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Where were you in life? What was going on? Do you remember the day? Was it a drive? What was going on that triggered you to start the road towards entrepreneurship?
Oh, geez. Thinking all the way back to when I first got started, I think it was always in me to have some sort of level of entrepreneurship. I was in, you know, brownies and Girl Scouts. And I think my favorite time of year were when the cookie sales were happening, because I got to go out and sell the cookies. Nice. So, you know, I wasn't making them. It wasn't my own business, but it was a lot of fun for me to go out and do that. So I think that maybe started the fun and the drive and the energy towards something of my own and setting goals and starting to achieve them.
Awesome. And then in terms of moving forward towards, you know, nowadays when you launch this business, I guess we have to let the cat out of the bag, right? You do chatbots and automation. And most people think that, the people that I've come across anyway, they think that they're like this automatic part of the business that your website just happens to offer. But you have a different view on it. You've been able to help people, you know, scale their business and increase their revenue. So how did that part start?
Yeah. So it started because of a sale, a client that I personally lost inside of Messenger. It was maybe about 4 years ago. Okay. And I was inside of Facebook and I was looking inside of my inbox, you know, where you have the notification pops up. And yes, I couldn't figure out for the life of me, like, where this notification was. It kept saying I had a message, but like I searched everywhere and it was nowhere to be found. And I finally found it, and I found it was from a potential client. She was looking to find out more about my one-on-one services. And I was excited because I was at this make or break point kind of in my business at that point where I was earning enough to cover my expenses, but not a lot more. So this client would have definitely taken me over that edge and propelled me even further. And I excitedly started to message her back. And then I looked at the timestamp on it, and it was from about 3 weeks before that. Yeah. So, I mean, in today's world, we almost live in this instant gratification type of culture where if they don't get back to you within minutes or days, they move on. They find somebody else to help them, right? So she did. She found somebody else. And I knew there had to be a different way to have these responses. I had heard things about messenger marketing, but I kind of thought that was for techies and gurus and not for everybody to use, like little old me coaching people. But I dove into it and I started learning, and I'm the biggest nerd. I have my MBA and my master's in library science. Like, I don't think you can get much more.
Oh, wow. You, yeah. Okay. Okay. I thought you were being, you know, self-deprecating, but you went actual library. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So total nerd. That's so funny. I started kind of playing around with it and seeing what was possible. And next thing I knew, I was setting up these systems that were either getting me leads whenever I wasn't trying to, that I was like, where are these people coming from? And here it was from the messenger automations and chatbots I had set up. And so I dove even more into it and I started setting clients up with these. I've done everything from coaching clients, realtors. I've worked with divorce coaches. I've worked with done for you service providers, copywriters, course creators, so many people I've helped in implement these systems so that they can really have this automation when they step away from the computer.
Yeah. So there's so many areas that I want to spin off to, because while you're talking, I'm listening and I'm like a half nerd, right? I'm the nerd that nobody knows is a nerd, right? Because I'm really excited about processes and the way people think. And so the first thing that comes to mind is mailbox money, right? You always want your money to be working for you or your business to be working for you when you're, you know, sleep or spending time with the kids or whatever the case is. Similar to your point, you don't want to have to just be online responding to every message, because we've all gotten that same notification. You have a message and you can't see it, right? But I guess let's work backwards and break down what exactly the chatbot is and how it works. Because we see it on the customer end, but on the owner end, the business end, what is it on your end that you can see?
Great starting point here. And I do want to just clarify, because I feel like today, like, there's two conversations that happen with messenger or chatbots. And there's one end in your personal, say like Facebook, where you're messaging with family and friends directly from your personal account. Yes. What we're talking about today, it's happening behind the scenes of your Facebook business page. And it can also be linked to your website and other places online. But I just want to make sure we know that it's that business page that we have. And there's different platforms out there. There's one called ManyChat, which I absolutely love. It's free to get started, I think, up until you have like 1,000 subscribers. So like, as you're listening to Chuck and I today, if you're thinking like, I'm going to try it for free, which is awesome, right? So behind the scenes of chatbots, on our end, we just see it's like somebody saying, hey, how are you? Or how can I help you? But on the back end, there's this whole other like ecosystem that can be developed behind there, where if you click on a certain button, you're going to get a particular response. Almost like, I was talking with a client about this the other day. It's almost like that choose your own adventure type of ending to a
story. Oh, yes, yes.
Where we, as the entrepreneur, we get to set up those endings for our clients, and then they get to go through it inside of the messenger. So it's neat how you can set up these automations and flows. And most people who are running an online business or building a business know the value of an email provider.
Yes.
So if you want to compare it to that, it's kind of like setting up email autoresponders, but inside of a chatbot.
So from what I've gathered, and again, low tech dude, I believe in paying people for what I don't know so that I can have it implemented and learn later. But it sounds like it's the perfect marriage between a convert kit and real-time chat. Is that close?
Yes, exactly. So it's like actually being on Messenger and having a conversation with somebody, but it's automated. So I like to call like my messenger, sometimes if people are like, I don't know if I want to have a messenger, I'm like, give your chatbot a name, give it a personality, make it fun. I call mine the Fancy Bot because my last name's Dancy. It rhymes with fancy. So why not? So exactly. It's got different follow-ups like a ConvertKit style would. And then also like real-time conversation, because you can pop in and out of the conversation, send videos, send audios, send just regular text conversation back to keep the conversation going and engaging.
Wow. Nice. Nice. So I did a little bit of research. Is it true you spent less than $10 on your site and made $500? Like, how did that part work?
Yes, that
because other if this works, I'm getting a bot like when we log off. Like this is we're starting.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was the coolest experience for me because I have my own courses and products, and I've done coaching, but I also love like this affiliate side of business and offering products that I truly believe in. And for a Black Friday, it was coming up and I realized I don't have anything of my own planned, but somebody that I do affiliate marketing for, she had this really awesome promotion lined up. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to dive in and I'm going to run her promo as my Black Friday. And I decided to do it on Facebook Messenger. So you can set up broadcasts and flows all for free, but there's something called a sponsored message, which as you're setting it up inside of Facebook, it's not the clicks to Messenger, it's sponsored message because you're only reaching people that have opted into your Messenger list, kind of like your email list, but on Messenger. So I was like, I don't know how much I'm going to spend on this campaign. I don't know what it's going to return, but I'm going to give it a shot. And at the time, I think I maybe had about 500 people connected to my Messenger. So I didn't have a ton of people on there. And so I set it all up, sent it out, and I started seeing these like referral email notifications coming in my inbox. And I was like, okay, like, is that from the Messenger campaign I just sent? Like, what is that from? And here it turns out over about a 2-day period, I spent $6 on the campaign and I earned about $600. And then since I was an affiliate for this, that was only a percentage of the overall sale. So for her, she earned probably about $1,200 from that.
Nice.
So it was such a cool experience. And then I was like, okay, if I could do that, like what else can I do?
Absolutely.
Because I'll spend way more than $6 if I can get that return.
Oh my God. Yeah. All day long. It's funny because I had a mentor that used to tell me, if you can make $100, you can make $1,000. And if you can make $1,000, you can make $1,000,000. You just have to figure out where getting the system streamlined so that you can go ahead and scale. I love that story. And most people will, the reason that I wanted to talk about that one is most people will look at $500 and they say, that's not enough money. I'm going to be in business for XYZ. But the average household can get out of foreclosure, right? Or get out of collections for $500. That's the back car note. That's the cell phone bill that's, about to get cut off. The internet, like that's a great starting point goal for most online businesses. There's, so many different types of entrepreneurs, but side hustle and beginning to build belief, that's where it's at.
Absolutely. And I think we're kind of bombarded by these six-figure launch stories. So I share that and I'm glad we talked about it because it's not always like the six-figure launch that changes your mindset or belief behind something. And what happened that day was really opened my eyes to what was possible.
I love it. We hear about building a list in every arena from network marketing to insurance sales and now online businesses. Can you, Jenna, spend a little bit of time and tell us why lists are so important?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're really the lifeblood of our business to have a connection with people and not necessarily to approach it as a sales list, but more as like a nurture relationship building tool. Because if we're just showing up to sell them something, they're going to remember that next time we pop in their inbox with an offer. They're going to be like, oh, wasn't she selling me something last week? But if you're also providing value, you're creating an experience, you're making it fun, they're going to open up your messages. They're going to be excited whenever they see you, whether it's in their Facebook Messenger or their inbox or wherever you're connecting with them. They're going to look for your conversations and connections, and you're going to start to become that go-to person for them. And what's neat is, email marketing, I'll say it's not going anywhere. We're always going to have the email list. We're always going to want to grow that list because we own that. That's our business asset. But the thing about email is open rates are really starting to decline. Like the average open rate is 15 to 20%. And with something like Messenger marketing or chatbots, the open rates right now are about 88 to 90%. So it's a huge opportunity. So like back in the day, and I think the statistic is about the same, but they used to say like you'll earn about $1 per person on your email list.
Oh, right? Okay. So, okay.
So like the goal like back in the day was I want 10,000 people on my list so I can earn $10,000 a month, right? Like that was yes. a no-brainer. That's right. That was the thing. But it's hard to find 10,000 people.
Right. And
if you look at the numbers, having a list of about 10,000 people is really, if you're considering the open rates, that's about like 300 people on your messenger list.
Wow.
And I would rather grow 300 and nurture 300 relationships yes. than 10,000.
Right. I remember in network marketing, it was similar. And we were adding the veterinarian, we're adding postman, right? We're anybody that had a pulse and a contact. We're like, that person's on our list. And half the time it was people like, I know you from where? Like, how does, and so I couldn't agree more that you have to nurture that list. Now, my question would be, the first time you sent the mass email out or the mass messenger out to the contacts, were you in a mode of, I would rather ask for forgiveness than permission? Or were you just scared and did it anyway? Like, how did that part go?
I was definitely just like flying by the seat of my pants at that point. I had no idea what I was doing. It was the first sponsored message I'd ever done. I had run like the clicks to messenger type of campaign, which really is about, I call it like my client attraction secret weapon because it's bringing people to start the conversation with you. But this was really the first time I had broadcasted out that way. Mm. So I figured it out. Of course, like there were some people that unsubscribed or hit stop right away, but yes. you're going to have that. You have that with email marketing. You have that with anything that you're doing, right?
Right.
And so I found that that really helped me tailor like my messaging, learn for the next time I did it, and understand like how to more effectively like start the conversations. Yeah. And I've done it, I think every month since then I've sent a sponsored message because it's almost like now that I've seen the light, I can't not continue to do that.
Now that you've gotten a taste of the Coca-Cola coffee, now it's a question. Walk our listeners through what a customer journey is. Like once the chat bot has done its job and it's pulled somebody in through, you know, the strategic messaging that you have, and they've, you know, selected there, what does the journey look like for a customer through the chat bot eyes?
So it really depends on what you offer as a business, I think is how we approach yes. the messenger and creating that experience for your customers. Like I find that most people, you've got some kind of freebie, right? That you're kind of using to grow your email list or get them on your list somehow or connected to you somehow.
Right.
So there could be a whole flow setup that's just designed to give them your freebie or deliver value, provide an extra training. And then many of us, we also may have some sort of like one-on-one discovery call or that next step yes. to book a call with you. There's a really neat way that you can almost build an application inside of Messenger. And you, when you do that, you can ask them different questions that are more qualifying. So for example, a realtor that I worked with recently, she set up a flow and we figured out the most important information that she needed to know before she got on the phone with them. Like she needed to know, were they pre-qualified to buy their house? Did they have a certain budget? How many bedrooms did they want? How many bathrooms did they want? So it's not necessarily all about like budget or spend or anything like that. But when they got on the phone, then she could say, okay, like actually there's this really great house that has 4 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. And that's exactly what you said you wanted. Like, let's go see it.
Right. So by right.
the end of that flow, the customer had self-selected either their goals, their priorities, their wishes, so that whenever we jump on the phone with them, we have all the information that we need to see if right. it's a good fit to work together.
Nice. Nice. I always imagine, I guess at some point though, or correct me if I'm wrong, at some point the bot, we have to we have to be around to respond to seal the deal or to convert those questions that we can't ask real time. So you were mentioning earlier that you can, you know, kind of spark the conversation and keep it going. What's the timetable where you've noticed where if there's too long of a gap in communication, the chat is no longer going to convert, or that you should jump in and, you know, kind of kickstart it yourself?
Great question here. So I usually jump into my messenger once a day just to do a quick skim and see if anybody got, I'll call it, stuck in one of my flows. Okay. And then kind of continue that conversation and ask another question or see if there's anything holding them back. And there's some of that you can automate. Like on one of my course pages, I have a live chat that is connected to Messenger.
Okay.
And it's semi-automated. So they can go through and select like what they do in their business. And then my answers are tailored to their responses. But if at some point in that flow, if they stop, I actually have a trigger that comes about 23 hours later that says, hey, I'm just wondering, did you end up purchasing the course? And that's automated. But in the meantime, I can actually go in, and I love doing this. It's definitely a time investment, but I find that it does give you those higher returns. So I'll actually like take my phone and I'll open up Facebook Messenger on my phone and I'll record a quick video and I'll send it to them where it's like, hey, Chuck, I saw you were looking at XYZ. Like, is there anything I can answer for you? Or what's your interest in this topic? It takes it to a whole nother level. Like I've had clients that were just looking at courses of mine that turned into one-on-one clients at a much higher ticket level because I did that. So I'm not saying it happens every time, but it really makes you stand out when you're doing things like that online.
So when were you comfortable enough with the process to offer the courses as part of the additional offerings, right? So it's one thing to do something for yourself, right? It's one thing to know that I can make great omelets in the morning. It's another to say, you know what, I should sell these, right? So what did that process look like for you?
Well, I think it was when people started coming to me and asking questions about it, I was like, oh, so there's something I know that they're wanting to learn about this topic. And I think we wait too long to take that next step, because if we're just like one step ahead, we're able to better teach what we know because we just learned it. We just went through it. We just went through the weeds and we know the questions that we were trying to figure out on Google or YouTube or anywhere else, because we were actually the ones typing those. So I say, like, if there's a spark of interest for you to create a course, like, just do it. you know, like, you're going to figure out what you know and what you don't know to include in that course. And I think that we have to believe in ourselves a little bit more than we do. I feel like we often look at other people, and I did this with sales funnels. So like, instead of just a website, I started selling my courses through what they call a sales funnel, which is more of like a strategic website, if you want to call it that. Yes. And I would look at all the gurus in my industry and I was like, they have the most beautiful like system set up.
Right.
One day I'm going to do that. And then I was like, well, why not today? Like, why isn't today that I just do it? And, and that changed everything for me.
I love it. I love the energy that you have towards doing it anyway, because a lot of I've seen countless entrepreneurs, chasers, and the one thing we all have in common is, you know, for lack of better words, imposter syndrome. But to get away from the buzzword, it's just not being sure that you're ready to scale or launch. Right. And so I love that you're more so like, I'm not going to be here forever. Let's do this right now. I love that.
And I can't remember who said this to me, but somebody had said, if you're too in your head, you're out of your heart. And we do better whenever we're living in our heart and like following that than we are in our own head. So like if you're listening and you're thinking one day that's going to be me creating a course, like think about all the people that you could actually impact today if you just decided to do it. And maybe you'll mess up along the way. Maybe you'll make mistakes. You likely will, just like I know I have. You might have along the way at some point too, Chuck. I don't know. We just did it.
Yeah. I'm a fan of, I don't know. I feel like we don't, as a online society, we don't showcase the failures enough to make people think that they're as common as the successes. And so, yeah, I tell every interview, I can at least list one or two failures from something that's happened. And I think that that's the part where your customers or your listeners, whatever the case is, build trust with you, right? They have to know that you're not perfect, because they aren't.
Exactly. Like, we need to show our flaws. And I'm not saying go out and spill all the beans everywhere, because then you're just cleaning right. up a mess, but let them behind the scenes and see what's going on. Like, we've all had launches that didn't sell anything. We've all had total flops and spent way too much money on a Facebook ad that wasn't converting. We've all had the terrible YouTube video or podcast episode or blog post. Like,
yes,
we've all had it at some point.
So, oh my gosh, that's a whole spinoff. We've seen a lot of business coaches talk about Instagram and conversions and templates that make the feed catchy. In your industry, what happens when the bot or the app goes down? How does that affect online business?
Yeah, there's definitely been cases where things didn't work the way that they were meant to. I feel like tech has a way of letting that happen sometimes. Right. And there was one time that my bot just kept saying the same thing over and over again to somebody.
Oh, no.
And so I had to go into many chat support. I was like, why is this happening? And they fixed it on their end and it was fine. And I actually sent, I think it was a voice memo to the person that was experiencing it. I was like, I don't know why that's happening. I'm so sorry. So it actually like sparked a conversation with us outside of the automation. And, you know, it's a learning curve for sure. Like figuring out what works, how often to send messages what types of things to say. And it's really about experimenting. And like we had talked about, being okay with making mistakes, being okay with people unsubscribing, being okay with people. Like, I feel like a trend lately, which I'm totally loving on Instagram Reels is people doing a reel showcasing either like email responses that they've gotten or bad reviews and like reading through those. Like, I forget what some celebrity did that on a TV show, but like, I feel like that's been the latest trend, and it's stuff like that happens. Like people will just respond and they'll forget that you're another human on the other end of it.
Yeah.
And I think just returning with kindness is the best thing that we can do when that happens.
That's like, is that the Jimmy Kimmel bad tweets? Like,
yes. That's
similar.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Some of those people have tougher skin than I think I will ever have. You know what I mean? Like, they are, some of them I've seen have been they're just vicious. And, you know, Twitter it's my favorite app. I have to say, you know, Twitter is my favorite app because it's the app where you are going to get absolute truth out of everybody. Right. No matter even if they automate, you know, a pre-schedule, they'll jump on and they will say everything they feel, you know, about Twitter.
Yeah. So
I love it because it's the most honest. Question for you. Someone is watching right now or listening right now and they're saying, Jenna, I want to start a business. Let's say dropship or apparel. How would you suggest that they spend, in terms of infrastructure, their startup money? Let's say it's $1,500 or so, $500. How would you suggest that they spend that startup budget?
Great question here. And I will try my best to answer it. I will tell you that I dipped my toe in starting a Shopify store, and I realized very quickly that physical products were not my thing, but I gave it a whirl. And I think there's amazing value with what you can do with today's technology and like all the drop shipping and Shopify options. So if it was me, I think I would spend as little money as possible on the actual like domain logo branding, that side of it,
yes,
until you tested your product and your offer, I'd find something else that's converting. And then I would put most of my money into like ad spend, actually, because I'd want to know as quick as possible if whatever I was offering was going to sell. And if it wasn't, then I would know that quickly and I would be able to adapt and find either a better suited product, a better suited niche, or target customer to be reaching out to with my message. So that doesn't give you quite the breakdown of I would spend $100 here and there, but that would be where my main focus would be, is actually like the marketing end of it. Like we get caught up in logos and domains and making it look pretty. And I think there is a time and place for that, but it's not at the very beginning. I'm very much a let's just try it, see if it works, and then we'll go back and we'll make it look nice and we'll put the nice fancy brand and logo and label on it. And then we'll do that whenever it works.
I love it. You know, it's funny because I think we get caught up in the branding part of it because we're so, to your earlier comment, where it's in our heart, right? It's our baby. And so we want the baby to look great before we present it. But then that's when we get our feelings hurt because we don't even know if anybody's looking for the baby, right? And so to your point, we have to make sure that there's a market for whatever it is. So I like that. I don't think I've gotten that answer yet where you would spend as much possible in research, right, to make sure that it's something that you have a market for. So let me ask you this. You've mastered the funnel. The customer journey is intact. What does Jenna Dancy do to stay at the top of the game?
Ooh, this is a good one. This is a good one, Chuck. So I think we're always investing in ourselves. Whatever we put in, we're going to get out, whether it's immediately or whether it's in a few months or a few years. We never quite know when we're going to get that return. But I heavily invest in myself. And that's something that I've moved a lot beyond just the latest course or the latest trend, but it's more into my mindset. Like every morning I wake up and I'm spending 20 minutes listening to an enoughness meditation so that I'm like filling and fueling myself and my belief in myself. And that's something that just started recently. I've always been into meditation and I would spend about 5 minutes every morning just listening to some sort of meditative tunes. I think as a mama, just that's important for sanity. But then you know, to turn off our minds. And if you're anything like me, like as an entrepreneur, you always have something coming in your head as an idea or a thought or what to try next. So that really helps me. But these specific last, I'd say, 2 months where I've heavily decided to go all in on that side of it, I went really raised my prices. Like I went from having about 10K months to like 20K months just by like incorporating the mindset aspect of it, the belief. And it's not necessarily like I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to wish it's going to happen. But I think internally it's changing, it's rewiring my thoughts and my beliefs in myself. So that's one direction that keeps me one step ahead. And I think another thing is just willing to fail and make mistakes and for it not to work. Like whenever it doesn't work, it's a learning process.
Okay. I like it. So we've heard that's kind of a thing right now where people are saying to raise the prices a bit and to go scale higher, right? So that you can, because it kind of takes the same effort to sell one product as it does to sell, you know, at a different price. And so I love that part, but how do you know when it's time to change your prices, right? How much business are you doing monthly, if you don't mind me asking, not necessarily dollar wise, but let's go volume, one customer, two customer, three customers, before you know it's time to raise prices?
I love this question because I think like it's easy to say, I want all the customers. I want to work with all the people. But for me lately, it's actually been shifting to I'm working with less and less people so that I can do better work. So I can give them better results and deliver higher on my promises so that, you know, then it becomes a referral system. They're coming directly back to me. And I think that has shifted a lot in my business. I've got three little ones at home. So time is not an endless resource. Like you might have heard yes. a little one banging on the door a minute ago. She just ran away. They always find you when you're trying to hide, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's their special skill, right? Is to know that you're working on something and want to interrupt that.
Exactly. Exactly. So I've tried to have prices that were more attainable for working with anybody at any level. And it simply didn't work for me. Number one, I wasn't as excited to dive into work. And I didn't find that I was as productive with that work either, because my energy was low. So I think the energy that you're bringing into your work makes a big difference in the results, whether it's for you or whether it's work that you're doing for a client. So I ended up raising my prices. So I'm working with only two or three people a month, but nice. I'm delivering high, high value items to them and results.
Do you have a favorite type of lead magnet? In terms of building, if we go back to building the list, right, you were talking about some people give away an ebook, some people give away a free product or whatever. Do you have a favorite type of lead magnet so for your higher ticket items?
I absolutely love audio. I think audio as a lead magnet, which I know most of us, like we're doing, we used to do ebooks all the time. And then it was like, people don't have the time and the attention to read all of those. And the cheat sheets can be really effective, but they don't necessarily have a high perceived value. But audio is huge because it lets you really shine for the person that's opting in for that training and listening to the training. And it's a high value in return for them too, because they can listen to it while they're doing other things. And I think like people that are listening to podcasts or audios, or even like watching and searching on YouTube for trainings, like they're looking for information and they might be listening while they're doing a million other things that they need to get done. So they are more productive usually. And, you know, I'm being generic here, but they're very productive. Or they're doing something while they're listening to it. So those are the type of people that I find I started to attract more of, because, you know, they were just, they're busy. Like check, like I'm sure you had a million things to do on your to-do list today. And absolutely. You were probably like listening to something or like multitasking at some point along the way. And not that I praise multitasking, but the fact is we all do it. So those are kind of the ambitious style entrepreneurs that I tend to work with.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Lately there's been this argument between video versus audio. And I think that I will always lean towards audio for that exact reason, that my attention span to just sit and watch as a father, as a husband, like it's just not available, right? I can't just sit there and watch everything, but I can listen. And, you know, during my drive, I can listen, you know, while my daughter asks one or two quick questions, you know, and maybe I'll rewind. So I totally agree. Audio is awesome. Now the question would be, how do you package it?
Ooh, this is a good one too. So there's a few different things that I've tried. And one is actually delivering it right inside of Messenger. So without getting like too tech heavy here, and it's I promise if you're actually like, right? If you're actually inside of ManyChat, to add audio, it's literally like uploading it. So if you can upload a picture to Facebook, you can upload an audio to your Messenger, I promise. So that I've delivered it that way, which is really easy to do. Okay. It could be like a simple landing page where maybe you upload it to something like Google Drive and you just link to it there. You can make it really simple. Another thing that I've been experimenting with and has worked really, really well is like, and maybe you've seen some of these out there, but it's like a private podcast feed where it's it's things that, you know, it's, you could still listen to it on iTunes or Spotify or anywhere you can listen to podcasts, but it's just not something that they'll search for and find inside of those podcast platforms. Right. They actually have to opt in to get the link to subscribe to it. So I think that's something that's really neat to play with. Like for, I also run a summit, which is a lot of fun. It's for course creators to earn more profits with their courses. And in January, I had one this year. And part of our kind of upgraded access was a private podcast feed of all the presentations. Nice. And I cannot tell you how many people just sent me personal emails being like, thank you for doing that as a podcast, because I don't have time to just sit and listen and watch the trainings. Like being able to listen to it in my ear added so much value. So yes. I think that's a really high value item that we can do for our subscribers.
I am so glad that you and I were able to have this conversation. I have so many questions. We're getting close to wrapping up. But with the staying with that audio and how we package it, what can the average entrepreneur expect for, I know you touched on it a little earlier, but what can the average entrepreneur expect for open rate on the giveaway, the email, the click through? What can they expect when they, you know, work through your system once they have their bot in place and they're able to move forward?
So if you're just building a list on email, like that average open rate is about 15-20%. If you're really good and you're nurturing your list like crazy and providing a ton of value, I guarantee your list is open rate is probably higher than that. Sure. But it can be a struggle. Like most people don't see anything higher. Like there was one lady, she has a 60% open rate, and I thought that was like skyrocket success for her. So within Messenger, the average is about 88-90% right now. And I will tell you, like with my Messenger list, I get about a 99% open rate. That means if I send something to 100 people, 99 of them are going to open it. And there's like nowhere else in marketing right now you can get those kind of open rates. And, you know, I do this. So I have different like ideas and systems in place, but this is really not something that you also can't implement and see those high open rates. If the average is 80%, like if you send it to 100 people, that means 88 are going to open it. Like your email list has to be pretty decent to get 80 people guaranteed to open it.
Right. So you're a mom, three little ones. There are, I think 62 or so percent of my listeners are women. For the mom that's sitting at home and listening and checking homework or whatever the case is, two questions. One, how much time do you spend implementing the system? And then two, because I know so many people have these Instagram boutiques and things like that, what should the budget look like for creating a bot-based system?
Great question here. So I think there's usually two types of people here. And one is kind of the DIY, I'm just going to do it style. And the other side is like, I don't know what this is. I want you to do it for me. So I feel like there's ways that both parties can implement it no matter what the budget is. So I got started with my business, pretty much everything was DIY. I did my logos, my content creation, my social media, my Messenger, my website, like everything. So if that's kind of the place that you are, you can get started with this with basically for free. And there's not many things that you can do that with right now. Like ManyChat there's a couple other platforms that integrate directly with Facebook Messenger itself. ManyChat's pretty easy. It's one that I do a lot of my trainings on just because I find it's very easy to understand and integrate with other online tools. Like you mentioned ConvertKit before, it integrates directly with ConvertKit. So there's just a lot of cool options that they have. You can have up to, I think it's 1,000 subscribers right now for free. Right. So if that fits your budget right now, then go in there and go play and figure it out, you know, and then there's the other side of it where it's like, okay, just take this off my plate. Like, there's people that will actually set up the Messenger campaigns for you. I usually do this. Like, I love doing this with clients because we figure out your bot personality. Sometimes we name your bot. We do all these really neat things with you and making you kind of be that shine inside of your bot with your audio or voice yes. or gifts of yourself. And I mean, my prices start around $1,500 and it okay. just really depends on what you've got going on, really. So really all budgets can implement this.
They can all work. When you are going through the process and having new clients, I don't want to say the introductory call or whatever the case is, but more so the process you were just speaking of where you're talking about personalities and implementing into the bot. Have you ever found that it's more so the alter ego that they want to represent the bot because they're like an introvert, don't really talk to people. And they're like, if I was such and such, I would say this. Does that happen often?
It does. It does. Actually, one of my first clients, and she's one of my good friends in online business. She was like, okay, so my bot is kind of like I'm Beyonce and my bot is kind of like Sasha Fierce. Nice. And I was like, exactly. So, you know, they can be your total alter ego if you want to. If you're struggling with like, okay, I don't know my alter ego as much, like another yeah. way to shape it and like a ninja hack for naming your bot, if you don't have something that comes to mind right away, is think about those ideal customer avatar exercises or ideal client exercises that you've done. Chances are you may have given your ideal client a name already. So name your bot your ideal client. So as you're writing your messages and you're creating your systems, you always have your ideal client in mind.
I love it. Is Jenna, is this still a people-based business for you?
100%. 100%. Like people... Yes. I love connecting with people and seeing what they're doing in their businesses. It really, like, it lights me up being able to help them incorporate these systems, because like I find that people that I work with a lot, they're driven by, I don't want to say just passion, but like they're really driven by purpose. Like they, yeah. if you ask them why they do what they do, they're going to have a reason, but there's also like that something else that like you can't really put into words. Yes. And those are the people that I love working with and really see shining as we're implementing these systems and automations, because you know, we're not meant to work all day. Like it's fun to close the computer and go play with our little ones, or yeah. It's almost springtime now that we're recording this. Like, go get your hands dirty in your garden if you love gardening, right. or work on your car, or like paint or draw, or like whatever it is that you do outside of work. Like, it's nice to be able to have time to do those things too.
Yeah, I tell everybody entrepreneurship. Instead of the money that we focus on, we should package it so that people know that it's a way to buy your time back. And for me, I am all about being able to just have the choice of doing whatever I want to do during the day. Even my 9-to-5 stuff, like whenever I was in corporate, if I can't design my day, I'm not doing it, right? Like I am not functional before 8:30 a.m. regardless if I'm awake or not, I'm not functional, right? So I can't have a job that starts that early. And so I think that people have to remember that there's no app for people skills, you know? And that's why I asked that question, is we get caught up in, you know, all the algorithms and things that we do, you know, to automate. But at the end of the day, we're all still in this people-based business.
Absolutely. And if you're listening, like what kind of business you have, if you talk to people, like I remember one of the first things, like I was so afraid of, especially having like the quote discovery calls or one-on-one calls, is like, I don't want to get on the phone and sound icky or like salesy. And, yes. and really like whenever you're on the phone like this and you really, or Zoom, like everything is today with technology, like you really get to show up and shine and connect with them. And if you're showing up from a place of service, that's going to show up no matter if you fumble over your words or you say something wrong. Like they're going to see that your heart is in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. What is, before I do my what's next, my obligatory what's next question, we have to do our three words round. So I give you three words and you tell me what those words mean to you. Okay. So for Jenna, what does the word belief mean?
Oh, belief is empowering. Like whenever I think about it as self-belief, it just empowers you.
Keeps you moving. What about the word vision?
Future. Like it's the big, big picture.
I love it. I love it. Last word would be skill.
Oh, I'd say implement would be my word because we all have those skills. So implement them.
So to not let whatever skill you have go dormant.
Exactly. Exactly. Take action on those skills. And like, there's so many things to learn, but chances are like, you've got something that you know how to do. So use that skill to propel you in your business.
Wow. That's strong. And it's funny because I was going to ask if you were in a room with 500 people and there was one thing that you could tell them to launch their business, what would you say? And I feel like that is, I feel like that's the answer. We're totally vibing out there. But I'll ask it anyway, just in case you have another. If you're in a room with 500 people, what would you want them to walk away from an experience with Jenna Dancy? What would you want them to know?
Oh, I'd want them to know that however they want to be seen in the world is for them to be created. Like they're the ones that are in control of that. There's nobody that's going to come down and like appoint you. Nobody said, Jenna, you're going to work on chatbots. Like I decided that. So right. I'd say if I was talking to people, I would just say, figure out what's driving you and go for it. Don't wait for anybody else to give you permission to just do it.
Wow. Wow. I love it. What is next for Jenna Dancy?
Oh man. What is next? I'd like to say that my husband and I, like one of our dreams is right before everything kind of shut down, we were in Granada and we just got our bareboat sailing certification. And
nice.
I'd say what's next is eventually have my business to a place where we can spend part of the year on that catamaran somewhere in the Caribbean and then the other half in New Hampshire. So we'll see. There's a lot of details to work out to make that happen. But I think that would be really cool. Like one of the beautiful things about online business is you can really do it from anywhere. And I love, like, we live in 119 acres up here. We're building a homestead. I love gardening and I love that side of it. But I also love just like hanging out on the boat. So one day, that'll be the one day.
Totally awesome. In the next few months, I know we talked a little bit earlier, July, you have something going for the Freedom Funnel experts over there. What do you have coming up in July?
Absolutely. So twice a year, I run the Profitable Course Creator Summit, which is a 4-day online event. It's a totally free event. And we bring in speakers across all sorts of different industries and teach you everything from creating your course and how to get ideas for your course to marketing to next level strategies to take it to the next level and scale it. And we have so much fun doing it. And I cannot wait for July. So usually it's July and January each year. Okay. You can get details at CourseCreatorSummit.com. And other than that, like if you're listening and you're thinking chatbots might be something you want to take a look at, I have a quiz. And Chuck, hopefully it's okay to share like my free quiz. It's chatbotsunlocked.com/quiz. And I think it's about 10 questions. So I promise it doesn't take forever to go through, but it'll give you a better idea of where you can implement chatbots into your own business once you go through that quiz. Cause it's so easy. Like after sharing what's possible, like I bet your mind is swirling with the million things that you could implement right now. Like,
Oh my God. Yes.
Having that like one idea to get started will make it a lot easier for you to actually take action and implement.
Wow. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been rocking with the great one, Jenna Dancy, on the Hawk Vision Podcast. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe across all your social media platforms. I have to figure out an automation to say that because I'm so sick of being like the politically correct guy that has to say like, share, subscribe. Anyway, make sure you do that. There are other visionaries just like you that would love to shorten the learning curve. I am your host, Chuck Hawkins. Jenna, let everybody know where they can find you online.
They can find me at Freedom Funnels on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook as Jenna Dancy. And if you're like one where it's like, okay, I want a little bit more than just business, check me out at the Jenna Dancy on Instagram. I share a little more behind the scenes of life on the homestead and my littles on that channel as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure. You know what it is. Hawk Vision Podcast. We'll see you either at the top or from the top. Thanks for stopping by.